Well, good morning. It is great to be with you. My name is Tom, and this morning we are thinking about some very amazing news, and this is the news that Jesus is coming back. Now, if you are a young person, families, you have an activity sheet, which Ian has sent round, so you should have that in your inbox, and you can enjoy that whilst I'm speaking. There's some questions and activities there for you to be doing. But all of us, we are thinking about this good news that Jesus is coming back. Over the Easter weekend, I was watching a film. I was watching Wonder Woman, the new one. I don't know if you've seen it. At the beginning of the film, Wonder Woman, she's grown up on this island with her people, hidden away from the rest of the world. And then one day, this man shows up. And she's never even seen a man before. But this man comes and he tells her that the whole world is at war. Can you imagine thinking everything is fine and suddenly learning that the whole world is at war? The whole world is completely different to what you thought. Well, last week, Graham finished by telling us some words that the angels spoke, which are bringing some even bigger and better news, and good news at that. Holly read these words to us. They're from Acts chapter 1, verse 11. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is big news. Jesus is coming back. And this means that we have hope in the future for life after death. We have heard good news that totally changes the world. We have hope. Now, death can be sad to think about. I mean, yesterday we were thinking about Prince Philip and how he has passed away. We said goodbye to him, and that is very sad. But Christians believe that there is hope for life after death. Now, the people that Paul was writing to in his letter, the Thessalonians, they had lots of questions about death. And they're starting to worry because they didn't have answers to their questions, big questions. And so Paul, he is writing to them with answers, answers so that they need not worry, but have hope. And I'm sure it's the case for all of us, isn't it, that we have questions too. Well, these answers can bring us hope as well. And so what does he do? What does Paul give them to help them think about death? Well, I wonder if you can see it in the passage. Paul gives them a picture. How does he describe those who have died? Well, I can give you a clue if you're looking for it. First clue is this. I wonder if that helps you out. Or maybe this rather stylish-looking eye mask that just seems to match my shirt, which was terribly unplanned. What do you think it is? What do you think the clue is? It is those who have fallen asleep. Paul says that Christians who have died, it's like they have fallen asleep. Well, what is he saying? He is saying that they are no longer here, but they are safe with Jesus when they die. But he says they're asleep because, well, for first thing, it means that they're going to wake up one day. When Jesus comes back again, we will be alive with him. They will be awake. You can see this in verse 15, where he says, "So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep." We have hope that when Jesus comes, all God's people will be together again, and we will be with Jesus, which is amazing. That is what we look forward to. So we know that those who have fallen asleep, believers, Christians who have died, will one day wake up when Jesus comes back. But also, we know that we will be safe until that day. I don't know about you, but I love having a sleep in the car. Do you like a good nap in the car? It was one of my favorite things when I was a child. When my parents were driving, if maybe going on holiday, I would love a good snooze in the back of the car. Nothing better. But I knew I could just, you know, have a sleep because I was safe. Maybe Dad was driving the car. I was safe inside, so I could have a good long snooze. Well, Paul says that Christians are in Jesus, like being inside the car. And so, because we are safe when we die, we don't have to worry, which is wonderful news, isn't it? I find that fills me with hope. So this is great. Those who die, who are believers, it's like we have fallen asleep, ready to wake up when Jesus returns, and they will be safe until then. So this is great news. This is great hope. But there are people who don't think this is true, that it sounds crazy. And so it's important for us to tell ourselves that what is true. I have a friend who I'm going to call Rosie so that she doesn't get embarrassed. And she was dropping off her kids at school one day, and she got chatting to another mum that she didn't really know very well. And she hadn't yet told this other mum that she was a Christian. But one morning, this other mum says to my friend, "What are you going to be doing today?" And actually, my friend Rosie was going to be starting a job at a church. So she was going to have to tell this new friend that she was a Christian and was going to be working for a church. So she did. She said, "I am a Christian, and today I am starting my new job at a church." Now, when she'd said that, the conversation got very awkward. I think this other lady didn't believe it to be true, and so they moved the conversation along. And so my friend Rosie, she was heading home, and she was a bit discouraged. She thought, "Oh, that's sad, because, you know, what I believe is true." And so she decided to text herself. She got on her phone and she wrote herself a message. And so she said, "I am not crazy. I live in the real world. I know what is true." And so she sent that message to herself and continued with her day. Later in the day, we were all in a big meeting, and suddenly we heard Rosie in the corner saying, "Oh no, oh no." And we all looked round and we said, "What's wrong?" And Rosie realised that she'd not sent that text to herself, but to this new mum friend. And so this new mum friend had just got this text saying, "I'm not crazy. I live in the real world. I know what's true," which is very embarrassing. But I believe they did become friends, but they never actually talked about that text. Sometimes we can lose hope, and we need to be encouraged, because lots of people don't believe what we believe. What is it that might cause you to lose hope? Why not take a minute right now, where you are, with maybe with the grown-ups that you're with, or if you're in a household with somebody, and think together, when do we lose hope? When can we feel a bit hopeless? Take a minute now just to discuss that together. When do we lose hope? Well, I wonder what you said. What is it that causes you to lose hope? It might be that the world thinks differently to what we believe. It might be that you've got lots of questions. It might be that it's just hard waiting. Well, it's worth reminding each other that Jesus is coming so that we don't lose hope. In fact, I read a story in the newspaper about a lady who is a therapist. This is a lady, she helps mums and dads to be better mums and dads. And she said that sometimes mums and dads come to her and they don't believe in Jesus. And they say, "Well, what should we tell our kids about, you know, life after death?" And she says her answer is always the same. She says, "Lie," which is very naughty, and we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't lie. But she's saying it because she has seen lots of families who are believers in Jesus and the difference that it makes. She knows that it makes them happier and sometimes healthier and making good choices in life. She's seen that when people trust in Jesus, believe in God, that they are happier. And so she says to lie, which we shouldn't do. But the good news is that we don't have to lie. Because Paul is saying that actually what we believe is true. Jesus has risen from the dead. Verse 14, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and therefore we have hope. The tomb, it's empty. Lots of people have seen Jesus back from the dead. And even his family and Paul, who didn't want to believe, they saw the risen Jesus and they were convinced. We have a hope that is based in history and truth. And so we can look back to history and believe when we look forward to the future that we have hope. Isn't that exciting? We have a hope that is real. So I wonder, what questions do you have about Jesus' death, resurrection, and return? What are your questions? You see, the Thessalonians, they were really helped to be hopeful because they asked their questions. If we don't ask our questions or remind ourselves of this story, well, we can feel hopeless. So ask your questions, go to the Bible, get your grown-ups to help you find the answers in the Bible, and we can be hopeful together. Isn't that exciting? There is hope. Jesus is coming back, and we will all be awake with him. So ask your questions and be filled with hope. We're going to stop now and sing a song together, and then we're going to think a little bit more shortly. Well, we're going to continue thinking about the fact that Jesus is coming again. So remember, we finished thinking about the fact that Jesus is coming, and therefore we know that we will be awake, alive with him. And so it's good to ask our questions. And one of our questions might be, what do we think that life after death will look like? What do we think life after death will look like? What picture comes into your mind? You see, the idea of life after death is that our picture might be shaped by what other people say to us. So the Thessalonians, they had been spoken to by lots of Greeks, and they had not a great idea of what life was like after death. And so the Thessalonians were starting to feel a little bit miserable. And we ourselves, we get different ideas of life after death from those around us. Some people think it looks like kind of singing on clouds forever, like one big church service for eternity. Now, I love church, but that doesn't sound like the best future, does it? One long church service. Paul is actually painting a much better picture for the Thessalonians about what life after death looks like. So he's already told them that we will come and be made alive again, but there's more, there's something even better. The very best thing about being alive in the future is that we will be with Jesus, and he will be our king. We will be with Jesus, and he will be our king. There is no better future that we could dream of. The very best thing is that we could be with him, and he would be our good king. And so Paul tells us a little bit about what's going to happen when Jesus comes. We are going to see four different things happen. The first is this, that Jesus is going to come. And we're told there's going to be a loud noise. There'll be a command from God, an angelic shout, and a loud trumpet. And for those of you who have your activity sheet, I wonder if you have found all five noises. Can you think of maybe even more? But the reason, one of the things that we know, because there's such a loud noise, is that nobody is going to miss this event. It's going to be really obvious. Jesus is going to come. The second thing is that those who are asleep in Jesus, those who have died, who are trusting in Jesus, will be raised. Millions and millions and millions of believers, all God's people who have died, will be raised again to be with Jesus. Can you imagine seeing that happen? Well, then the third step is that those who are alive on earth, who have seen millions and millions gathering around Jesus, they too will raise up with him. Isn't that exciting? Can you imagine? It means that nobody who is trusting in Jesus is going to miss out on Jesus' arrival. So Jesus will come. Those who have been asleep in Jesus will rise. Then those who are still alive, they will rise. And then we read that we will live with Jesus. verse 17. So we will be with the Lord forever. Isn't this just the most exciting news? Can you imagine that event? Well, this is describing the start of our resurrected life with Jesus. Now, Paul isn't trying to just make us excited about flying in the sky. That's not his point. There's a more important story that Paul is trying to tell us. The story that Paul is trying to tell us is about a king who is arriving. A king who is arriving. This is going to be one big welcome party. I wonder if you have ever been part of a welcome party. I once was. We went to the airport to go and pick up a friend to bring them back. This was a friend who was coming over from America, and we'd not seen them in a long time. And so me and some friends, we went to the airport, and we were stood at the arrivals gate waiting for them to come with lots of other people. And when we saw our friend come through the door and arrive, one of my other friends got so excited that she ran towards them, and they were running so quickly that they forgot to slow down, and they bumped into each other and fell on the ground, all their bags in the air, and there was a loud gasp. And then as they saw that our friends were just rolling around having a laugh, a lot of other people chuckled as well. It was a rather unexpected kind of welcome party. But Paul is now talking about a welcome party that's very different. You see, when Paul is writing, if there was somebody important coming to a city, they would be celebrating. There would be feasts and speeches, and there would be praise, and there would be sacrifices. People would give lots of money. They would raise statues. They would build buildings. These were big welcome parties because the person who was coming was important. Now, Jesus has had a welcome party already. I wonder if you can remember. Just before the Easter story, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And so the people went out to meet with him to welcome him into the city. And can you remember what they did? They put their cloaks and palm leaves on the ground to welcome Jesus. And then they returned with him to the city. Now, Jesus' first welcome party, he was not coming as the victorious king. He was coming as a servant. Because as Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, he was going to the cross. So that anybody who would say yes to Jesus would be free from sin and able to live with him forever. So that was the first welcome party. But now, the next welcome party that we're looking forward to, when Jesus returns, he is coming as the victorious king. He's done it. And so we will be with him, all believers up together with him, raised to life. And we will accompany him as he comes to take his place over heaven and earth, the new heaven and the new earth. Isn't that incredible news? We will all be part of Jesus's big welcome party when he comes as the victorious king. How do you feel about that? How do you feel? Can you imagine this event? Raising up and seeing every believer, seeing Jesus and coming with him as he makes his home with us. Talk to each other just for a minute. How do you feel thinking about Jesus's return? How do you feel about it? Just have maybe 30 seconds to discuss it with those who you're with. I don't know about you, but I find it hard to put my feelings into words when I think about that day, when I will see every believer, past, present, and future, when I will see the risen Jesus, and when I will at last be with him forever. I can't, it's just amazing. This is our hope. everyone who has said no to living for themselves and yes to living for King Jesus will be there. He is our conquering King who saves us. He's our conquering King who raises us to new life. And he's our King who brings us with him as he makes his victorious entrance back to earth. Isn't that amazing? I wonder, have you said yes to King Jesus? Because if you have, you can be confident that you will be with him when he returns. If you've not yet said yes to Jesus, but you'd like to, well, then why not ask a grown-up with you to pray together? That would be a great thing to do. And if you are a grown-up or a bit older and you want to say yes to Jesus, why don't you do that? Say a prayer and then tell a friend. What better hope could we hope for our future? Well, how are we going to remember this hope? How are you and I going to remember that this is our future with Jesus? Well, I've not made any TikTok videos. I do enjoy a dance, but I don't know any particular dance moves. But to help us remember, I've got a very simple dance move for us to be able to remember our hope. It's very simple. Firstly, take one hand and point it across your body and point up. Just point up. Because we are going to be raised to meet with Jesus. We will meet our King as he comes. And then just point it back down again, down at the floor, because we will then come down with our King Jesus to the earth, to the restored heaven and earth where he takes his throne. And we will be with him forever, not floating on clouds, singing songs, but alive with him in life, bursting with joy and love and holiness. And so we can point up and we can point down and we can have a little dance because we are celebrating our coming King. So why don't you do that throughout the day? It might be when nobody's around, but have a little dance because Jesus is coming. We will be raised with him. We have a hope. Isn't that amazing? Well, what are we going to do with this good news? We will be with him forever. Well, look at verse 18, just as we finish. Maybe grown-ups, you can point to verse 18 in the Bible and see what it says. It says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Basically, tell people, tell your friends and family, tell those who love Jesus and encourage them that this is true. Like my friend Rosie, who was texting herself to encourage herself. You could do that as well, but make sure that, you know, you've got your number in the phone. Or you could write a letter. You could send a card. You could make a phone call. You don't have to know how somebody is feeling. They will be encouraged to be reminded of this hope. And as Kate said earlier, if you've been making a card this morning, take a picture of it and send it to me or put it on our Facebook group. That would be brilliant. I'd love to see that. I actually got to share this hope this week. A really good friend of mine who's a Christian, he phoned me to tell me that his nan had passed away. But she had said yes to Jesus. And you know, it was so wonderful, even though it was sad, that we could remind each other of this hope. We looked at these words and reminded ourselves that we have hope. And so, just like with Wonder Woman, you could be that person who comes not with bad news, but with good news. That says, actually, we live in a world where there is hope. And I hope that that will be your hope today. We will be alive with Jesus and we will be with him forever. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent Jesus to be our saving King. And we thank you that we will one day see him. That because we're trusting in him, we will be made alive. And that we will be with him and he will make his home with us forever. Lord, that's amazing news. And I pray for myself and for everybody today, Lord, that we would find hope in this good news. Help us to encourage each other, we pray. Amen.